Fourth, preparation for the sacrament of penance alerts us to what virtues we need to concentrate on. It is a simple rule in the spiritual life. We are to concentrate on those virtues against which we mostly and mainly and most easily fail. Christ wants us to imitate him in all the virtues, but he wants each of us to imitate him in one or the other virtue specially. Which one is that? I don't know. Very simple. What failings are you most prone to that you've confessed over the years? It is that virtue of Christ that he wants you to concentrate on in overcoming that sinful tendency. You see, think I've told you the offices of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. When I came back after a particular week of teaching, I was met by the mistress of novices. "Father, I'm embellished," she said, "but the novices in the last class have told me they've discovered your predominant fault. They know what weakness you have, and they proceeded to tell me." So I said, "Well, what did they tell you?" They said, "Father Hardin's main fault, the one sin he's got to fight against constantly, is laziness." Then I told her what bright novices she has. She's absolutely right. The Lord has gifted me in various ways. The built-in liability is laziness. I've been working at it since the novitiate. Fifth, the sacrament of penance, the church tells us, sensitizes our will to the will of God. In other words, through this sacrament, we become more responsive to God's will. Because he's always talking to us. When people say, "I prayed so much and I read books about dialogue with God," I'm doing all the talking. So I tell them, "My dear, God is constantly talking to you." This, by the way, is a good definition of providence. Providence is God talking to the human soul. Because, as faith tells us, everything, but everything, is part of his providence. The fact that we have a grand total of 3 people in class, thanks and finally, we get special graces through the sacrament of penance corresponding to the sins we confess, which, by the way, is a good motive for digging deeper than most people tend to when they go to confession, especially religious. What you need special graces for, you confess that. Do I have to? No, you don't. But if you want to get special help, be sure that you dig deep. We are talking about recommendations. Number five was the benefits. Number six is things to stress with religious regarding the sacraments. Five things to stress. First, regularity. What is not naturally pleasant, we have to master ourselves to get into the regular habit of doing and allow no exceptions. When I'm here and Father Downey is alone at breakfast, I am in the habit of going to confession to Father Downey after breakfast. Fortunately, he was in the, I guess, breakfast room alone. So I said to myself, this is my chance. He was in a hurry, I was in a hurry. And hurry or no hurry. So, after I finished my two pieces of toast, I went to confession. So, regularity. Secondly, frequency. I've mentioned this more than once. I've stopped feeling silly in saying it. I try to go every day. Frequency. And this is where the religious should be encouraged. At first, a priest will maybe be a little surprised. When I spoke in New Mexico to the priests, the last thing they expected me to say, I gave a conference on the priest and the sacrament of penance. Afterwards, one of the Jesuits in the diocese took me aside. He said, John, some of the men did not appreciate what you told them, that we did not need a Jesuit from New York City to come to New Mexico to tell us to go to confession. So I said, well, that's not the point. Maybe they did need a Jesuit from New York to tell them. The point is, should they go to confession? And frequently. It's good to hear. Whenever I talk to priests, I always tell them, you go to the sacrament of penance, otherwise you will either not be a sympathetic confessor, or the people will not have the example to imitate. Frequency. Third thing to stress. Be definite. Now, how definite is up to the person's own devotion? For a valid sacrament, all you have to do is say something that you've done wrong. You cannot just say, Father, I'm a sinner. Because then he should say, well, so am I. You've got to say something. Now, beyond that, the rest is up to the person. Alfonso de Liguori, in his Directus for Confessors, says, be as definite as possible. That does not mean be as long-winded as possible. Fourth, say something humiliating. Now, this again is Alfonso de Liguori's recommendation. And he happens to be the church's assigned patron for confessors. Some little detail that's not necessary, but you'd rather not say. Say it. Like what? I was impatient. because either jealous. Impatience is enough. If you have the motive, that's better. Again, make sure that people don't become scapegoats. And this is where you have to be prudent yourself in pointing out the value of some of these things and not necessarily their necessity. And finally, it is a good thing to have religious seek counsel in confession. Not always, not necessarily at length, but some counsel. Why? The answer is a very important one. The confessor is specially gifted by divine grace to give assistance in the confessional that no other situation provides. The Church speaks of sacramental counsel provided by the confessor. In other words, he may not be that bright, he may not be all that equipped, nevertheless, given the circumstance of the sacrament, God invites him to give you advice. All I can tell you is, not only do I ask for it, and believe me, this is not a natural tendency on my part to ask people for advice. My natural tendency is to get it. And let me add, because in this matter you've got to be very personal, I think out exactly what I'm going to ask, and I ask for the counsel when I need it, of course. Here, though I might have reached a decision on my own, and then nothing, but nothing on earth will change my mind once I've received counsel in the sacrament.
And Father, now, if we live in a day and age where the counsel in the confessional is not according to the mind of the Church.
Well, this is where all that I've said before applies, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Way up on top, I talked about the problem of good confessors. But what a tragedy it would be if a religious that can benefit from this invaluable sacramental counsel did not have access to it because he or she did not have a good confessor. Teresa Avila had the same problem, remember? And she was living in an age very much like our own, when chaos was the order of the day. She prayed and begged God to send her good confessors, remember? And she changed them. And she was at great pains to provide good confessors. In fact, this is not common knowledge. Do you know one reason, and I would say one of the main reasons, why Teresa Avila found out John of the Cross is to ensure her nuns having saintly confessors? Because the condition of the Carmelites who were to deal with her nuns, I mean the Carmelite priests, was such she could not, unless they were reformed, get the logic. Her reformation would be one woman's dream. And that's Mother Teresa. As I told you, the conversation that I overheard, I happened to be in the room next to where she was talking to Cardinal Cook on the opening day of the new community she founded 8 years ago in the Bronx, after he thanked her for coming into the Archdiocese of New York. She said, "Your Eminence, I would like to share something with you. I know you have wonderful priests in the archdiocese, but I want no priests to hear the confessions of my sisters unless I approve them. And to his credit, he said, yes, Mother. And then she proceeded to name the priest that she had so far approved. Needless to say, I waited whether I was on the approved list. And she tells me, tell Major superiors, tell the Major's women. Either they get good confessors and maintain them, or in today's church, they won't make it. You're right. But I'm saying the importance of seeking counsel. And then be a priest, sadly, from whom you cannot seek counsel, because he himself must be an instrument of grace. However, that's part of the problem. But I want to say something before we close. The norms for gaining indulgences. You should all consult, by the way, this book, The Enchiridion of Indulgences. At great length, the Church describes the conditions for gaining indulgences. And among those conditions is the reception of the sacrament of penance, sacramental confession. Second, Eucharistic communion. And third, prayer for the intention of the Sovereign Pontiff. It is further required that all attachment to sin, even venial sin, be absent. In other words, on both levels, the sacrament of penance helps to detach us from venial sins. It is a precondition for gaining any plenary indulgence. And secondly, to gain the plenary indulgence, we must have gone to the sacrament of penance. Number 28. A single sacramental confession suffices for gaining several plenary indulgences. It is normally interpreted within about 8 days. So you see, frequent confession, it is the Church's own condition for gaining a plenary indulgence. And with that, let's close. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.